This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a wonderful day to be together in the house of God, and I'm so glad to be with all of you. Especially glad to welcome you if this is your first time here, if you're visiting with us this morning. We hope that you have a chance to meet some of the friends sitting around you. And if you are looking for a place to call your church home, we would love to get to know you and tell you a little bit more about how we're trying to live out God's love in the world. And if you would, after the service, come through these doors right here into Reed Hall. We have some folks who are called Andrew Ministers. They have blue name tags, and they can answer questions that you might have or give you a tour of the church or whatever you might need to become more at home here. All of us are invited every Sunday to sign in. There are registration pads on each row, and hopefully they're already making their way down. And if you're sitting on the center aisle here and you get the registration pad after it's been passed down, if you wouldn't mind tearing out all of the sheets that have been filled out and placing them on top, that's a big help to our ushers. We do have a gathering of college students after the late service, go to lunch together, and they will be meeting as a group in Reed Hall as well. You may have noticed some things going on down in the lobby area. We have our gourmet market going on. This is a new thing for me and a very exciting thing. You can buy frozen casseroles, frozen desserts for you to put in your freezer and then bring out on Easter Sunday like you made it, and people will never know. And all the proceeds go toward children, youth, and preschool ministries. So it goes for a great cause. We are blessed with wonderful music in the season of Lent. Every Thursday at noon, there's a concert during Lent, and the details are in your insert this morning. And also mark your calendars for March 25th. We will be graced with our choir performing Beethoven Mass in C major. And it's a great opportunity to invite friends and let them experience the beauty of our music ministry here. Finally, I want to invite Henry Ambrose to come up. Henry started this Monday as our new property operations manager. He just jumped right in on Monday and survived the first staff meeting and is already having fun, aren't you?
Yes.
Right. Henry has a wife, Whitney, and a daughter, Jane, and we are thrilled to have him as part of our church family. And I just wanted for you to meet him so you know what he looks like and whom to call if you have a need, especially the surrounding the building, and to give you an opportunity just to welcome him to the West End family. So let's welcome him. Thank you, Henry. We continue in this season of Lent to consider some of the basic practices of our faith. And this morning we're considering the question, why give? And we are allowing the story of Zacchaeus to help us explore that question together. So let us open ourselves to the story of Zacchaeus, to all that is offered to us in this time of worship.
Thank you.
We come before the Lord just as we are. We offer our gifts in thanks for God's gracious presence. Let us bring our confession to the one who dares to join in holy fellowship, even with people like us. God of all good gifts, too often we forget the wondrous joys of living fully in your creation. We ignore our connection to all that surrounds us. We deny our relationship with all of your children. We forget your love for us. We think of ourselves as insignificant, or at least too imperfect to do your will. We are so much like Zacchaeus. We do not always use our resources well, yet we struggle to clutch a glimpse of you, and we hope to be summoned by you. Save us, gracious Lord. We long to turn from our wrongful ways and give our lives back to you. Take heart and rejoice. God always summons us. Christ continually welcomes us to join in the bounteous gospel feast, and the Holy Spirit employs every gift we have to offer. The mysterious three-in-one God welcomes all persons to a place at the table of grace. Now, please join us as we share the peace of Christ with one another and greet your neighbor. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Robert and Olivia Leo bring their son, Samuel Franklin Leo, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Olivia and Robert, as Samuel's parents, I ask you these historic questions of the faith. On behalf of the whole church, do you renounce your spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? My dear friends, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround him with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in his service to others. We will pray for him that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. And in the fullness of time, you sent Jesus nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Okay, I think I can. And what name have you given this child?
Samuel Franklin.
Samuel Franklin Leo. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I'm going to invite you and all the family to come place a hand on Samuel. And let us pray. Samuel Franklin, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Now I'm going to take Samuel into the congregation so Samuel can see a little more closely his church family. Samuel, these are the friends who are going to live out their faith in front of you so you can see what God's love looks like. They're going to teach you Sunday school and vacation Bible school. They're going to lead you and teach you the songs of the faith. Maybe you'll be in the choir one day. And they're going to help your parents teach you the ways of the Christian faith so that you can have a loving, living relationship with Jesus, just like we do.
Will the congregation please stand and face this child? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Samuel Franklin to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks
for all that God has already given
Sam
you.
Franklin.
And we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church, our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Luke. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass by that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
As the grown-ups are being seated, we invite all the children to come forward. You can bring a grown-up with you if you want to. I want to show y'all something. Oh boy. This is a box of, that's right, my stuff. This is all the stuff that I have that I love. I have in this box, oh, my favorite clothes, my favorite shoes, my iPad, my stuffed animals, all the gifts that people have given me. Oh, I just love my stuff so much. I really can't see you very well over this box.
Pastor Carol!
Hi, Brandon!
Hello! How are you?
I'm fine. How are
Good.
You?
Good. The peace of Christ be with
with yeah, I don't think this is going to work. My stuff is kind of in the way.
Oh, well.
Sorry.
Well, I guess it's good to see you anyway.
Yeah, great.
All right, and it's good to see your stuff, too.
Yeah, thanks.
I think that's kind of, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, wait a minute.
What?
I kind of want to hug Pastor Brandon. What should I do? What should I do? What? I think I should put my stuff down. Maybe I should let go of my stuff. Maybe my stuff isn't as important as a good hug from Pastor Brandon.
Peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Boy, that feels so much better than holding that big box of stuff. You know, God wants to pour love into our hearts. God wants to love on us. And sometimes when we're all caught up in our stuff and our things, then our hands are full and we can't respond to God's love. Sort of like that. We're getting ready to hear a story about a man named Zacchaeus. I bet some of you have sung a song about Zacchaeus, the wee little man. And Jesus came to his town. He had a lot of stuff. He had a lot of money. But when he met Jesus, he gave it away so that he could receive Jesus' love for him. Let's pray together. Gracious God, you love us so much. And you want to show us your love all the time. Forgive us when we're distracted by our things, when we care more about our stuff and what we have than about your love for us. Help us to set our things down, to love you in return, and be free and generous with our love for other people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. You can go back to your seats with parents or grandparents. And I'm going to leave my stuff at the altar. I imagine some of you children who are up here are fans of Harry Potter. I love the Harry Potter books, movies. I love to listen to them. Just wonderful stories. There may be some of you, however, who have not read the books or seen the movies. So you may not know that the evil character in the Harry Potter books is a dark wizard named Voldemort. But the thing is, a lot of the wizards in the books won't say the name. They won't say it. Instead, they call him He Who Must Not Be Named, or You Know Who. They find all sorts of ways to name him without saying his name. I think we get that way sometimes in church about certain words. There are certain words that I don't like to say in worship. And one of those words is money. And so I try all sorts of different ways to talk about money without saying the word money. I'll never forget early on in my ministry when I was an associate pastor at Brentwood Methodist Church, and it was my time in the liturgy to call for the offering, and I was sort of off the cuff, and I was like, and now we have an opportunity to share of our resources and resources and more resources. I just couldn't say the word. We get uncomfortable talking about money in church sometimes. I know I do. And maybe you get uncomfortable talking about it and hearing about it as well. Oh boy, we're going to talk about money today. I saw the sermon title, I almost didn't come. But if we're hesitant to talk about money as people of faith, then we better not read our Bibles either. There are about 500 verses in the Bible that talk about prayer, and about 2,000 verses that talk about money and possessions. One person has calculated that the teachings of Jesus, at least 15% of his teachings are about money and possessions. And that percentage goes up even higher if we look at Luke's gospel. In Luke's gospel, Jesus has a lot to say about money, wealth, and the rich. And I'm sorry to say that even though the word gospel means good news, that Luke's gospel is not really good news for the rich. It starts early when Mary learns that she is about to be the mother of the Son of God. She sings the song, the Magnificat, and one of her lines is, "God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty." Dr. Tom Long, who's a retired professor of preaching, says that it's almost as if every time we see the word rich in Luke's gospel, we can hear Luke saying, "Psh, the rich, psh." In chapter 6 of Luke's gospel, we get Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount. And there are not only blessings in the Beatitudes, blessed are the, but there are also woes and curses. And so in Luke's gospel, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor." Not the poor in spirit, but the poor, and woe to you who are rich. We get parables about the rich fool, the rich man, and Lazarus, and never does the rich man come looking out good. And then in chapter 18, right before our text for today, we have a rich young man who comes to Jesus and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life? I've obeyed all the rules." And Jesus says, "Sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor and follow me." And then Jesus looks on with sadness as the man walks away. He can't do it. And so Jesus says to his disciples, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." So it's round about this point in Luke's gospel when I'm starting to shrink in my chair. I'm starting to feel a little uncomfortable because I am rich. I'm rich by pretty much any standard you would take to look. I am a rich person. I was born into a family that was financially stable, born into a good home with good schools in my neighborhood. My parents could afford to educate me, and we never had to worry about food on the table or paying our bills, and never once in my life have I been afraid that I wouldn't have enough. I would always have people I could go to, always had a big safety net. I was given the best of the best, and I've always had options. So I am rich. And at this point in Luke's gospel, I'm wondering, does God look upon me and say, "Pfft"? Does God demand of me, "Sell everything and give everything you've got to the poor, and then you'll be worthy to follow me"? Because I'm not sure I can do that. So it's in this spirit that I come to chapter 19. And maybe you're there with me too. And here we have the story of Zacchaeus. And maybe there's something in this story, something we can find in the interaction between Jesus and this rich man, that is good news for people like me. We don't know much about Zacchaeus, but Luke tells us right away he was a chief tax collector and he was rich. Now, what does it mean that he was a chief tax collector? Well, the tax collectors in Jesus' day would have been Jewish alongside the other Jews in their village, but they made the choice to cooperate with the Roman Empire. And so they paid a lump sum to Rome to be given the rights to collect taxes in whatever area they were serving. And they had to recoup what they had paid to the Roman Empire. And so in order to make a living, in order to make a profit, they had to charge more than they had given to the Roman Empire. And they had a bad reputation for really leaning on people and taking a lot more money than they were due. Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector, which means he probably profited from the profits of the other tax collectors. Now, there are some who argue that we don't know for sure that Zacchaeus was corrupt. It doesn't say that he cheated other people. But even if he didn't, he was the beneficiary of this oppressive system. He bought into a system that lifted him up and oppressed others. And that's where I also identify with Zacchaeus a little bit. I've never been a corrupt person or been dishonest, but at the same time, I have benefited from a system in our society that I could be born into the kind of family and neighborhood I was born into and have all sorts of advantages, whereas someone else born into a different family and a different neighborhood might not have had those same choices and advantages. And so I benefit from the system. And Zacchaeus benefited from the system. So we know that he's a chief tax collector and he's rich. But we know something else about Zacchaeus too. He wanted to see Jesus. I don't know why, but I think Zacchaeus had come to discover that all of his stuff did not satisfy his soul, that there was something missing in his life. With as much money as he had, as much power as he had over people, there was still something empty within him, and he was hungry for something, and Jesus somehow drew his attention. And so as Jesus is passing through town, Zacchaeus does something that a grown man would never do in ancient Israel. He ran. You had to lift up your robes and show your ankles to run, and that was ridiculous for a grown-up man to do. And not even that, he climbed a tree. A grown man climbing a tree. You can only imagine the snickering that went on in the crowd, all those people who hated Zacchaeus. Look at that fool climbing a tree. But he didn't care. He wanted to see Jesus, and he was so small that he couldn't see anything because of the crowd. And so he climbed a tree. And then here comes Jesus. And this is the moment. This is the moment when you and I might expect Jesus to look up in the tree and say, "Oh, there is a rich man. Pfft, I'm moving on. I got no time for this guy." But that's not what happened. Jesus stopped at the base of that tree, and he looked Zacchaeus in the eye, and he called him by name. He wasn't tax collector. He wasn't rich man. He wasn't short guy. He was Zacchaeus, a man with a name and a soul and a story. And Jesus seems to have known his story. And he says to him, "I must go to your house today." It's not a question. He didn't wait for Zacchaeus to invite him. He said to Zacchaeus, "I am coming to dwell with you. I am coming home with you." Jesus offered to Zacchaeus a relationship with himself. He offered to Zacchaeus acceptance and belonging. He saw Zacchaeus as a child of God, a son of Abraham, he calls him. And in that moment, everything changes for Zacchaeus. He rushes down that tree, and he is happy to welcome him, Luke says. And from that moment on, all that stuff that he held, all of the money he had, looked totally different. His perspective on his money changed forever. And he gave half of it away. And he said, "If I have defrauded anybody, I will pay them back four times as much," going way beyond what the law required. He was able to let go because he had found true life in Jesus. Now notice the order of things. Jesus offered himself in love and acceptance first. Jesus didn't go up to the tree and say, "Now, Zacchaeus, if you give away half of what you own, then I'll go eat with you. Now, Zacchaeus, if you'll just..." No. Jesus offered himself first. And it was Zacchaeus' response. And he responded as he felt led to respond because his whole life had been changed. And that's how it is for you and me. If we give because we have to, if we give because we feel an obligation or guilt, or that's not the kind of giving that Jesus wants of us. But if we give out of joy because we have been so completely loved and that our whole perspective on money and life in this world has changed so much, then that's how we answer that question. And I know we want to know how we're supposed to give. The church has always handed on to us the practice of the tithe, which is giving 10% of whatever income we have to give it to the ministry of God. And that's a good guideline and a challenging one. But that's always been sort of the minimum. Zacchaeus gave half. Jesus told the young man to give everything away. So there's no perfect formula that we can follow and know that, okay, now I'm right with God because I give this much. The how we give, the how much we give, is between us and God. What I'm really focused on this morning is why. We give because God first gave God's self to us, and nothing, not even our money, will ever be the same. Thanks be to God. Amen. This morning, we have an opportunity to announce the good news. Affirm our faith in what really matters. So I invite you to stand as you're able and join with me in our affirmation of faith, number 888 in our hymnals. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen. You may be seated.
As we come to a time of prayer, we lift up the joys and concerns of the congregations as an offering of our love and our God. If you have prayer requests that you would like to share, please fill out a gray card located in the pew racks in front of you. Please indicate if you would like your prayer requests to be shared or if they should remain confidential. You can place the card in the offering plates as they are passed down the pews in just a few moments. We are happy to celebrate the birth of Jacob Joseph Goodwin with a rose on the communion table. Jacob Joseph Goodwin was born to Wes and Aaron Goodwin on February 22nd and is welcomed by his big sister, Audie Goodwin. Let us now turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. You saw your children as slaves in Egypt and brought them to freedom. You see creation held captive by our desire for more and weep. And yet you pour out your love on each of us every day. All that we have learned and think we know has not brought meaning to our lives. The brokenness of our world needs your peace. Our pain-shattered hearts need your healing. And so you sent your voice through your servant, Jesus Christ. All creation weeps with grief and cries to you for comfort. All the broken of our world long for your wholeness. All who hunger for hope long for the sweetness of your grace and joy. And so you fill us with joy and love through the Holy Spirit. God and community, may we see you, hear you, and know you as we move through this Lenten season, as we pray the words that Jesus has taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, amen. I would like now to welcome Lauren the Sturgeon to come share a ministry moment.
Good morning. My name is Lauren the Sturgeon, and I currently serve as the chair of the Missions and Outreach Committee. I want to invite you to join us for our 7th annual Great Day of Service on Saturday, April 7th, from 8:30 to noon. After 2 years of hosting a church-wide potato drop, we are excited to offer the opportunity to serve at several different organizations this year. We've heard testimonies about how meaningful volunteering at different organizations has been in past years. Some West End members have found their place of service and continue to volunteer at an organization on a weekly basis, all because they decided to spend 3 hours on a Saturday morning participating in the Great Day of Service. We'll gather here at West End at 8:30 for a light breakfast and some last minute instructions, and then we'll go out into the community to serve. We have projects at 15 different organizations to choose from. You'll find a list of the partners in this special insert in your bulletin. All ages are invited and encouraged to participate. Childcare will be provided for children 4 and under for those who register by Monday, April 2nd. Note there's a misprint in the bulletin, and the correct date for that is Monday, April 2nd. Our hope is to have over 100 Weston members serving in the community that day. Help us reach our goal by signing up in Reed Hall today, or you can also sign up online at the link listed in the bulletin insert. I hope that you will join us. And now, with all humility, let us now make our offering to God, trusting not in worldly gain, but in God's sustaining grace.
this time of worship, we have come face to face with the wondrous love who has given all for our sakes and for the sake of the world. May we respond with our all, and may we know his peace. Amen.